Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company update from Heliostar Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HSTR and on the OTCQX under the symbol HSTXF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Charles Funk. Now, Charles, there are two news releases that we are going to get to here. The first one released March 1st that discusses a new discovery, I guess we can call it. It's a vein that was found under the historic Apollo Sitka mine. This is at the Unga property. The company released 4 out of 7 holes that have been drilled. Give us some insights on what led you to drill down here underneath the Apollo Sitka mine in terms of some of the past work that you guys used as a historic reference.
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and thanks to the listeners. It's the third of the targets that we've talked about after the success at SH1 and Aquila. Apollo was a really obvious thing to do. This was Alaska's first underground gold mine. They produced about 130,000 ounces at about 10 grams per ton at the turn of last century, and it was very profitable. But they ran into a problem, which is a huge opportunity for us. As they got deeper in this vein, they started picking up base metals, in fact, quite significant amounts of lead and zinc. And that was a big problem with stamp mills of the day. They couldn't economically recover that. In fact, they even got penalized for their zinc when they tried to make a concentrate. And not knowing that it was never going to change, as we know with a modern understanding of these systems, as they get deeper, they start getting very significant base metals. And so they sunk these shafts. If you look at slide 15 on our corporate presentation, shaft 1, shaft 2, and the Sitka shaft, and blocked out these zones of mineralization. They showed where it was in three sides with drives and tunnels. And then even went further in the shaft 2 area, estimated about 8 to 10 grams gold equivalent, built of 3 grams gold, 250 grams silver, and 10% combined lead zinc. And so the old timers told you where it was and told you what the grade was. And amazingly, until we drilled last year, no one had ever followed up. So pretty obvious exploration to do, pretty high probability exploration.
Give us a little overview of the key results then. What gives you the, well, ability to say that you found this vein, and what kind of follow-up work is needed?
Yeah, we have a, that long section that I showed was a cartoon drawn in the 90s from a report in the 40s and a mine in the 20s. So it was always a little bit rubbery. And so our drilling last year was just looking to define exactly where that vein was. We drilled 3 holes under Apollo. The first hit workings, the second deviator got caught in a fault, but the third we hit 2 veins and an interesting stockwork zone. So our best intercept was just short of 2 meters at 5.1 grams gold equivalent with broad stockworks, 11 meters at a gram and 20 meters at 0.45 on either side. And so now we know where the veins are. We've got stockwork zones in between them. And so we're going to come back and systematically expand at Apollo. We also immediately long strike drilled a number of holes at the Sitka mine, a kilometre to the northeast. We hit the workings, but we hit the stockwork zone again, 25 metres at 1.1 grams approximately. And so from what we've got from the old time reports, these big broad stockworks that had never previously been reported, we're going to very aggressively drill at Apollo Sitka this year because we think we could have a 0.5 to 1 million ounce target just in this area alone.
Can you give us some more insights on the stockworks mineralization or what you're seeing underground there and why that is important now more so than in history?
Yeah, well, back in the day, they just mined out the veins. You know, the veins are anywhere from sort of 2 to 8 meters wide. So a very significant vein. And that's a very good feature of the Unga project. But because they were in the veins and they were working underground, you know, they didn't spend any time out in the footwall or the hanging wall. Whereas by drilling these holes, we found these little veins and silicification and these broad halos. And so that could, you know, make big impact to the economics where you can connect these parallel veins. You might even have open pit potential. The less waste rock and the more mineralized material, the much better economically it's going to be. So we'll wait and see with our step out drilling, but a really encouraging a really encouraging sign. Some of the best epithermals have big halos of stockwork that are economic.
So when it comes to getting back down there and testing out and, well, trying to expand on this discovery, when can you do that? And what's the strategy for drilling to follow up on this?
Yeah, so as we've talked about before, we've got this amazing long field season for a project in Alaska. We're going to remobilize at the end of the month. So we'll be underway well before most people in Alaska will be drilling. And we're also doing something that's reasonably innovative for Alaska as well. We're bringing up two RC drill rigs. We'll be able to drill a lot of meters very cheaply. And so we're going to very aggressively drill in the Shaft 1, Shaft 2 and Sitka area with our Phase 1 program that's fully funded, and just systematically step out on these hits and some of the old reports. The more old reports I read, the more excited I am. There's a lot of mineralization here that's just got to be drilled off. So I think, yeah, some of the highest probability exploration that will be done this year will be doing in Apollo.
Well, I will follow up when we do get some more information for the next follow-up drill program, but encouraging to see the potential at depth there. Let's now talk about the news release that came out just yesterday, March 4th. It talks about drilling, starting up in Mexico, initially 1,500 meters to start, but in all fairness, I don't think a whole lot of people are paying attention to the Mexican project within the company. What insights can you give us on the goals around this drilling?
Yeah, so Unga is clearly our flagship, and we've spent most of our time talking about that. But we did build up a portfolio of really attractive projects, but earlier stage in northern Mexico, in Sonora. It's a part of the world that I know really well. It's surrounded by Santa Elena, First Majestic, Santa Elena, Silvercrest, Las Chispas, Equinox Golds, Mercedes Mine. And then Silver Tigers recently had some success. It's a part of the world that was always owned by copper companies, and in the last 10 years is really being recognized for its gold-silver endowment. And so I was fortunate enough to be involved in the Ermitaño discovery that's about to go into production by First Majestic here. And so it opened our eyes to the potential, and we acquired three projects that we own 100%. And so we'll be actively exploring on two of those and drilling on a third of those this year. Starting this week.
So the drilling initially starting here at the La Lola project. What interested you to start at this project?
Yeah, I staked La Lola when I was the VP in a previous company, and then we acquired it. It's a big district with a vein that gets up to 40 meters wide in one location. But what we recognized is that you're shallow in the system and you don't expect systematic high grade. But we took some samples and got 57 grams gold, some 424 grams silver samples. And that told us that there is high grades in the system. We believe that we've got to drill deeper to where the mineralization would deposit in these systems. And that's what we'll be doing with this drill program, drilling down into the heart of the system where we interpret that the grades could and should be better.
So has there been any historic drilling here? Is this really the first pass in terms of drill exploration?
Yeah, it's very much the first pass. This is a vein that was mined for fluorite historically, and fluorite can regularly be found above these prospective systems. It doesn't have the sex appeal of consistent high grades at site, like some of our other projects. But technically, this is a proven way of making discoveries in Mexico. We've done it ourselves as a team, and we think this has all the same similarities at surface as some of these other discoveries. We've just got to use our brain and our smarts to chase it down to that horizon where the gold should be deposited.
So what's the budget for this at least initial 1,500 meters?
So our total budget for Mexico is 600,000 Canadian. The majority of that will go into the drill program, but we'll also be doing some mapping and sampling on our Cumro claim block in the El Picacho district and our Oso Negro claim.
So this is really, it sounds like, true exploration drilling. You're going out there and trying to make a discovery. Is that fair to say?
That's a fair summary of what we would do with every program at Heliostar. We believe in taking risks to make new discoveries. We've got higher probability targets because of the historic work up at Unga, But these are all district scale projects. We think they have a lot of potential. They've probably received no value in our current share price. So any success makes these almost a free warrant to an investor.
Okay. Well, Charles, we will wrap it up here. I will post a link to the Heliostar website and the news page. So you can click on either one of these news releases, read over them, listen to this interview. And if you have any follow-up questions for Charles, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you, but it does sound like, well, the company is continuing to explore and we should have a fairly steady flow of news. Charles, I appreciate your time today. Thank you, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, everyone.